This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May of 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories.
Live from your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
Ooh, Kissel, are you feeling spooky?
Dude, I'm freaking scared, man. There's a bunch of fake spider webs all over the place. You can't even go into a Duane Reade anymore, which is
a
Walgreens.
You know what's scariest about the fake spider webs?
What?
They're made out of asbestos.
gets in your lungs. You get that web lung.
That's what killed my grandfather.
Amen.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cobwebs at Birkenau.
Yeah. No, that was not that grandfather. My grandfather who fought for the United States in the Forgotten War, the Korean War. And then you know what he did? Carpentry. And that's where he got cancer.
Wow. You know what? I'll tell you what. It's the Forgotten War. It's definitely the most boring war.
It's not a boring war. There were zips, there were zaps, there was
people
who were
like,
no.
Wasn't it like 3 weeks long?
I don't know. I don't remember. All right.
Didn't we win that war in a ping pong championship? I honestly don't know a single thing about the Korean War.
There's a big monument now in Washington, D.C., and we're going to be in Washington, D.C. in early November, November 8th. Come check out Side Stories Live.
Good
and
plug.
Henry, we will go in there together.
Oh, God.
And we will learn about the Korean War. And that's
do I have to be lectured by a vet?
Yes.
When we're traveling for work.
Or whoever we find missing a digit. If they're missing a finger, we're just going to assume they know all about it. And whatever they say, that's the truth.
No, they were probably in an anti-smoking commercial.
Hey, what's up, everyone? How you doing? This is Side Stories. I am Ben, joined by my compatriot, Henry Zebrowski.
Yes, it is your comrade.
Indeed.
I am your comrade, Henry Zebrowski, West Coast Communist Henry Zebrowski, which means I give my latte to the poor man I see.
Aww.
I sometimes will buy a goddess bowl and give it to a poor man, so aww, he knows he is equal.
That's very sweet of you. Everyone loves Queen-O.
Yes, they do. They do. I love Queen-O. Yes. But it's Halloween.
Yes, it is. Yay.
And I'm feeling spooky. Kissel, what have you been watching?
So I did check out It 2. That's been the most mainstream horror film that I saw recently. And as we mentioned on last week's stream, or on last night's stream, we can't really talk about it yet because it's still too fresh and people haven't seen it. But that's
It 2?
It 2, yeah.
But that's fine. The ending sucked.
That's just my hot take, but I don't want to ruin it for anyone because there was some great scares, there were some fun jump moments, some really cool big-ass puppets.
Yeah, leave 10 minutes before it's over. Basically, leave 10 minutes. As soon as I get down there, leave and go catch a free beer in the lobby.
Could be. That's not bad advice because I'm going to say see it. You got to see it because
it
is cool.
It's cool. Anyway, Joker, again, it's all right.
These are our movie reviews because we really can't give any information away because otherwise our audience is going to turn this episode off immediately.
It's all right. Joaquin Phoenix real thin. Real skinny. I was very concerned the entire time about how skinny he was.
But he's always been thin. It's not like
he goes in between. He got specifically very skinny and then he did do a whole breakdown on an interview afterwards saying, I felt such extreme control over losing 70 pounds by not eating. I was like, yeah, it's called an eating disorder. That's why you do it. It's because you have very bad anxiety or you have a horrible depression and you feel like everything's in a fucking, you're sliding down towards yeah. chaos. And the only way to hold your life together is make sure you only eat 2 hard-boiled eggs a day.
Well, that is a great point, Henry. That is what eating disorders are. A way for you to control, whether it be getting big or getting tiny. Would you say that he was thinner than Christian Bale in The Machinist?
I think that if you ask Christian Bale, he'd be like, no, I was the skinniest actor of all time. And then Joaquin Phoenix would be like, no, sir, I was the skinniest actor of all time.
You know what's so funny? That is the difference between professional wrestlers and actors. I was watching the Goldberg documentary about Bill yes. Goldberg, and 30 minutes of it was him complaining about how he can't gain weight. He's like, I gotta gain weight. I'm 56. I'm like, you are such a bastard. Such a bastard.
You can gain weight. It's called get a rascal.
Yeah.
And the weight just arrives at you.
But they like to do it in a muscular way. Yes, in terms of horror.
Every year I try to do 31 for 31.
Okay.
And so a lot of times what I'll end up doing is that if I miss a day because of travel, like I double back up.
Okay.
So I'll watch 2 or 3 in a night to make sure I got it. The family loves it. I don't hold the living room hostage. This
no.
is not about that. It's not that everyone's afraid of me.
Sure.
No, honestly, it's true. Natalie does join me, which is nice, except it made us interrupt because we've been watching Game of Thrones as well because we never watched it because we don't like being a part of fads. And as we were watching it now I don't remember what's happened in the show, so we probably have to start it all over again.
You're doing Game of Thrones now?
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
I don't know. It's a show we're watching because we always have like a show we are watching and then, you know, normal shit because we don't like watching all of the shows. I can't keep up with all of the stupid television.
Oh, it's totally impossible. It'll take over your entire life. And if you love superhero movies and television shows, now they got the Marvel app and you're doomed.
I'm not a big superhero movie or television show fan. I'm a big fan of nooses.
Nooses? As a genre of film?
No, just called committing suicide, because that's what I'm talking about. I'd rather do that.
I actually,
that's not true. I love to live. I love to live. If I choose between watching the Arrow show and committing suicide, I'll watch the Arrow show, but I don't want to see it. Is it called the Arrow show?
I think it's called Arrow, but yeah, it could be called the Arrow show. I like the color green in it.
Great.
I do. That's the only thing I know about it, but I do like that color green they use, a good forest green.
But for Halloween, specifically for 31 for 31, I like mixing up classic rewatches. Like last year, I watched every single Hellraiser. I didn't really talk about it, but I watched every single Hellraiser, and they obviously, they go up and down in quality.
Yes, they do.
Hellraiser 3 is surprisingly fun.
Hellraiser 3, now that is the one where the man, he runs the rock joint, right? And that's the one where he has this tulpa. And all of the victims.
Yes, and it's got the CD head.
Yeah, of course.
Centibite.
That might be.
Sweet.
I don't want to talk out of school here, but I think that's my favorite Hellraiser.
It's close.
It's very close.
Besides
fun.
The original, because the original is just. I mean, it's just incredible.
Will there ever be? We're not even in talks of a Hellraiser reboot right now.
No, because they try to do it. I watched the fat Hellraiser.
Oh, my God. He's not even a fat actor, but honestly, we got to take Joaquin Phoenix. Now that he's thin with Joker and he knows how to play a more horrific character, just put him in the pinhead makeup. Let's just get this out of the way while he's still loving to only eat 2 eggs before he starts eating steak when he stars as John Wayne in a biopic next time.
I would come so hard for a Joaquin Phoenix Hellraiser.
I would too.
Woo!
That would
but
be.
But I also but this year, so I've tried to hit a new franchise. My big thing is that I've never seen all the Saws.
Really?
So I watched Saw 1, which is, again, far too serious. Save me with fucking Joker! It's so serious! It's so serious!
Are you doing the why so serious thing?
Why so serious? Where it's like you could just do a little bit of a joke. I mean, you're still a Joker, whatever.
See, this is nice because I have seen all the Saws, and I'm interested to hear your take because everyone's like, oh, horror porn, all this nonsense. They are straight up, by the time you get to Saw 3, 4, 5, 6, goofball slapstick comedies.
Well, this is, so please guide me, all right? So Saw 1, classic, great.
Classic, fine.
You know, I fucking shut off Saw 2.
Saw 2 was garbage. Saw 2 is almost unwatchable, but you've got to get through it so you don't lose the storyline. Henry, there is a big time. So you're only, you're through Saw 1 and 15 minutes of Saw 2?
I made it through about half an hour of Saw 2, and I was like, this is fucking garbage. And I watched all the Phantasms.
Phantasms like, hold up, though, because, you know, say what you want. But Coscarello, the director, keeping the same cast for Phantasm was the single greatest
because of a mistake.
They all aged horribly, and it is unreal. It is so awesome. I love that franchise.
I love that franchise.
Although as I got older, I realized the tall man, he's only like 5'11".
Actors are all really tall.
He's not that tall. But I love Phantasm. If you haven't seen the Phantasm series, again, you do have to sit through a lot of like questionable filmmaking, but it is so worth it. The moments that come are great.
There are really good, and it's also such a good wackadoo sci-fi horror because then it starts leaning on the sci-fi end, which I think is really fun. I really love Phantasm, but so you're saying, can I just read the Wikipedia of a Saw 2 and watch Saw 3?
They're not complex in many ways. But in others, there are because I don't want to ruin this for you, but you know, it's been out for a decade. As the series progresses, Jigsaw, obviously, it's an idea. And there are multiple other people who perhaps have learned to love themselves because Jigsaw tortured them. And maybe there's a group of people at one point that get together and they have their Jigsaw appreciation meetings and all of them look like they are Iraq War or World War II veterans.
I have to get there.
Because they're all missing like whatever horror that they were put through. They're all missing a limb or an eye or neck.
I got to get there.
It really
is. I
got
to get to that point. By the time you get, I'll press on.
Just honestly, you could even watch them in reverse because by the end of it, it's just a bunch of nerds like you and I, Henry, sitting in a room trying to make a horror-themed game of Mousetrap because everything is just so ridiculous. Because
it has to be so complicated.
So complicated.
Is a lesson within a lesson within a game within a game. And then it's just, I'm just watching Donnie Wahlberg suck on a cigarette that second Saw 2, and I was like, I can't watch this shit anymore.
But then they always have a Scooby-Doo flip at the end, and it is just, I recommend the Saw series. I don't understand. I'm just happy that we're over the time when people were taking it seriously in the way that they were saying, like, this is damaging to children. I'm like, this is ridiculous.
Absolutely, because that's what we talk about all the time. Nat and I are like, I love the artistry of the kills. I think that they're fun looking. They're super metal, and you forget that James Wan was also a really talented director at one point.
Yes.
They actually really knew what the hell he was doing.
And also, no one has actually died in any way in which they show people dying in the movie Saw. It has never happened.
Well, there has been a Jigsaw-inspired guy
that's been happening
recently.
Oh, my goodness.
There is a story right now. A guy named Jeffrey Howe that was murdered by a guy that was, like, put through a system. Essentially, I can't remember the name of the podcast. There's a podcast out right now that is starting to break down this one guy. Basically, he killed one dude.
Okay.
In a gigantic labyrinth.
Oh, my goodness.
So it does inspire creativity.
I
also am working my way through Child's Play, which is entirely worth it.
Have you seen the latest one yet? Because I heard the latest one was really good. I was about to push play last night, and I didn't yet, but I will.
Loved it. Okay. I am one of those. I am a haunted doll person.
Sure. You've been saying this.
I like haunted dolls. The Boy. Have you seen The Boy?
I did see The Boy, yes.
It's The Boy. The Boy's doing it. That's my favorite. And they'll be like, it can't possibly be The Boy. The Boy's a doll. And it's like, The Boy's the one doing the crimes. I love that shit. Also, you know what I also
watched
again?
You know, that's not going to get you out of jail, though, when you get your speeding ticket, when you're super stoned. The Boy did it. Be like, no.
I need to just keep a ventriloquist dummy with me at all times. Be like, The Boy's making me do it. He tells me horrible things.
Yep, I agree. The Boy and Dead Silence. I know we're mixing puppets and dolls here, but let's just say that they're one entity. Dead Silence is a great movie.
I'm going to put it this way. If you email us to correct us the difference between a puppet and a doll, you're a pedophile. Don't you dare. Don't you fucking dare. Because you're disgusting.
It's a hard statement here on Side Stories, but that's and we're steadfast on that one.
I'm hard line on that.
Okay.
Another good one I just watched that I forgot was really creepy was The Canal.
I never heard of it.
Irish horror film.
Okay.
About a dude moving into with his wife, who's super hot, but is just not that into him. And it seems to make him really upset. He moves into a house where the man that lived there in the 1800s murdered his cheating wife. And the ghost sort of inhabits this man.
Okay, very cool.
It's very good. It's very good. That was really good. And also the Wrinkles the Clown documentary is fun.
I didn't even... What is that?
Wrinkles the Clown. So there was a period of time, it was in 2016, right before everything slid into total fucking chaos. We were having those clown sightings everywhere.
Yes, of course.
Back in when news was wholesome. Wrinkles the Clown was a guy that created a viral video of him saying, you can hire me, you can call up my number and I'll come and scare your bad kids. And it became sort of like a viral thing. And it's very, very interesting. And it harkens back to a real phenomena that was in the 1980s, like 1981. I want to say it coincided when they finally gave John Wayne Gacy the death penalty.
Okay.
In 1980. It was this rash of clown sightings. If you look up 1981 Phantom Clowns, it is a phenomena. It was a social phenomena that was talking about there was rumors that were both debunked and not of people in clown costumes fucking with people, like causing general mayhem.
Was it inspired by John Wayne Gacy, or did it just so happen?
It seems that you couldn't really separate the two because at the time pogo fever was kind of happening in the country.
Right, because I mean, I guess after John Wayne Gacy was dead, you could really have fun with it now. You could
cosplay.
That is serial killer cosplay. I think that is when something is gone, when someone is dead, then you can start to like be like, that was really weird though, right? Like,
yeah, that was weird.
That was strange. He's like a big
that
fat.
That was strange,
like,
and he like did that, right?
Yeah.
Be like, can I do that? Should I burn my clown costume?
Well,
no, I think you should wear it, Brian.
And you also need to reverse Joaquin Phoenix yourself, put on some weight so you can really look like a creepy pogo.
That's what I have to do to get my fucking acting career back.
I know it, buddy.
Being fat.
Well, actually, if you want to see a movie based on clowns that is truly horrifying as well, it's about 3 years old now, but Clown is a great horror film. The dude puts on a clown suit. He wants to wear it to surprise his nephew, I think, at a birthday party. And then things get a little spooky-ooky.
Yes. Cool. Another good one to see that I watched recently was Vincent Price's The Fly.
Oh.
And also the Creepshow television show is great on Shudder.
Yes, I have been watching that, and that is old school. They captured the vibe. Also, if you really want to get old school, they still have all those old... Oh my God, Are You Afraid of the Dark? Are You Afraid of the Dark is still on, I believe it's on Netflix now, and Goosebumps.
Are you talking about the children's show?
Yes, and
you
Goosebumps.
You like it?
Dude, they're the best because the twists are amazing. Goosebumps.
You're watching them drunk. You're sitting there. You know what's also really good?
That is possible.
I would put out there, all right, a couple other movies out there. Incident in a Ghostland is fantastic.
Okay.
I watched that recently, very, very good. And so is The Taking of Deborah Logan.
Seen that, very tasty.
Very good. These are the things I've been watching. I mean, I'm just trying to keep you going, man. This is October, you better be fucking mainlining that horror. We gotta be doing this shit.
I absolutely agree, I completely love it. Check out all the good horror films that are out there. And if you don't have Shudder, they don't sponsor the show because they don't have that much money. But you know what? Let's get them some money. It's only $7.99.
I don't know if they even like are happy that we pump it so hard. Like, I don't even know. No one's. I've never received a message saying that they like that we talk about the show. I don't know if there's going to be working at Shudder. It could just be bots. But whatever the bots are doing over there is really good. They've got really good programming over there.
They really do. And it's if you want to see a horror film from the 1940s all the way up to today, you can see them on Shudder. Highly, highly worth it. Well, speaking of horror, let's just do a little bit of news here.
Yes.
Man, so big news in serial killer history. This fella, Samuel Little, we've talked about him a little bit before in the past,
yes,
but now he's back in the mainstream. Samuel Little is now considered the worst. I hate when people say the best or prolific. There's nothing prolific or good about this man. He is the worst serial killer in United States history. The FBI has now confirmed 50 people. However, Little has confessed to, I believe, 93.
He says he's confessed to 93. They say they have confirmed 50.
Right.
I keep looking up, how did they confirm it? And it seems like it is a he's doing a lot of confessing.
Right.
And he apparently has a photographic memory. So he has been drawing pictures of victims and describing victims.
Yes.
And then they're using his DNA on cold cases, and I guess are slowly but surely, because this has been since 2012.
Yes.
So now they have been slowly but surely connecting them to all these dots, which is just like, how did the, if this is real, because again, we've talked about this a couple times with serial killers we've covered, about how, like, once you're in jail, you can confess to fucking everything.
Oh,
because
sure.
Because he gave up, basically what he said is that I'll give you as many bodies as I gave. I'll give you as many bodies as I made as long as I don't get the death penalty.
Right.
So they didn't give him the death penalty. And so now he's just rattling them. They just bring him in because, oh, but what do we also know about confessions? It gets you out of gen pop.
Right.
He's 79 years old. He's fucking, he's an old bastard.
Yeah.
So they fucking pull him out of gen pop. He doesn't have to deal with anybody. He gets coffee and cigarettes.
Right.
And special meals. He gets to sit in an interview room all day, fucking hobnobbing with the cops. I watched about 15 minutes. They have about 15 minutes of his confessions on the FBI YouTube page.
Yeah, which is, I watched it as well, and I was like, way to get in there, FBI. It's not sponsored. I didn't see any ads for Nestle or anything for, like, the upcoming,
pretty fun, you know, they did, though,
newest feature film coming from Disney.
They're leaving money on the table.
The FBI is leaving money on the table, and they really need to stop doing that. But this is what's interesting, going back to
he seems to have like a joy talking about the details.
Yeah, and that was why I am wondering if, like, they need to be broadcasting it. I think this is sort of exactly what he wants.
Well, because he really is a fucking piece of shit. Like, he just a very, he is very scary. He's a big old boy. Big, strong. Big, strong. He's a big man.
He is. He is.
Big dude. He strangled and beat every one of his victims to death. He was operating from 1970 to 2005.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got him at during, I guess, some sort of DNA sweep, which is also not completely clear, at a homeless shelter.
Interesting.
They got him at a homeless shelter, and apparently the CIA has now been doing this fairly often. As soon as this was done, the residents were concerned about, because he was caught in Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
After he got caught, apparently residents were concerned about a DNA for cash transactions that were happening in the homeless community. This is from Wave 3 News.
Interesting.
In Louisville by Felicia Ashley. They are saying that these homeless people essentially being approached and given $20 to get a sample of their DNA. And then they're using them, they're running them through the systems. Because now we're saying that's how the
Golden
East
State
area rapist was fucking
Golden State killer, caught. Same person,
yes.
Yeah.
So now so it's all of these weird privacy concerns. So there's a lot of shit about this case that is still, like,
right,
the book about him is going to be written, and we'll figure it out. There's probably some there's probably some cold case podcast that's already going through all the police files.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll talk about why he wasn't caught for so long. And obviously, we've discussed the notion of the less dead, which tends to be sex workers, specifically sex workers of color.
But that's what he specifically, he said that his whole thing is that I killed women that no one would miss.
Exactly. But that is extremely concerning. And honestly, Henry, you're breaking news to Ben Kissel here. I never heard of that program before. That almost sounds like something we could delve into further. Maybe on Top Hat we can go in that and here. But it seems like, so they're paying $20 a pop for DNA of a person. But as we saw with the Golden State Killer, it was his relative that submitted for the, you know, for the DNA ancestry. Yes. And it turns out they don't show this in the commercial with like the leaf when all the leaves pop up. They don't show it when your uncle was also the Golden State Killer. Like, they're like, I had no idea. I was related to the Golden State Killer. Much like how Ted Bundy's supposed to. We're famous. But I would suppose it's not just about the homeless person's DNA. It's about their entire family lineage. That's what you get from DNA. So the fact that the feds are just paying $20 a pop for something as invasive as that. Very interesting.
But this dude was around. He was a vaguely well-known homeless dude in the area, Samuel Little. He was a drifter killer, mm-hmm. essentially. He just operated in and out of the California. And he was in California, Texas, obviously Louisville. He was in Florida. He was arrested many times in his life. Very long rap sheet. Mm-hmm. He was still very little known kind of about his normal life. He said he basically he traveled. That's what he said. He was a cemetery worker. He said he was an ambulance attendant at one point.
What does that
know what
mean?
It means.
You just pretend to be the body in the back so the ambulance knows.
Yes, like, trying to lift me. he was arrested for in 8 states for DUI, fraud, shoplifting, solicitation, armed robbery, aggravated assault, and rape. He was already investigated 2 separate times for attempted murder of a woman. Jeez. He was in several murder investigations. He just got fucking acquitted each time because they just didn't have any evidence on him. And then he just rambled into another series of crimes. And I guess he just quit.
In 2005?
Yeah, that's what he says. He says that he stopped doing shit in 2005.
So he just put his cap on the nail on the wall and was like, today's the last day, but the first day of the rest of my life.
Just put his time card in, nodded at BTK, nodded at Son of Sam. They're like, have fun in retirement. You know, working hardly working. You know what I mean? Doing that shit?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like that horror movie Beyond the Mask, which is another great horror film as far as I'm concerned.
That's a really good one.
So going back to what we were talking about with the less dead, this is according to FBI crime analyst Christy Palazzolo. She says, for many years, Samuel Little believed he would not be caught because he thought no one was accounting for his victims. I do like that the FBI was like, he thought no one was accounting for his victims. But then it's like, the FBI is like, oh yeah, we're not accounting for his victims.
No, we didn't account for any of the victims. Yeah, definitely not.
FBI is like, technically he was right about that. She goes on to say, even though he is already in prison, the FBI believes it is important to seek justice for each victim to close every case possible. The FBI has set up a website showing Little's sketches. As Henry mentioned, the dude does remember the faces of the people he killed, or at the very least, he's good at doing make-em-ups. I don't know.
He is either just doing make-em-ups and one of the most incredible performance art like things within true crime. Like, he's just making shit up off the top of his dome and he's being a fucking real Basquiat. Sure, if that's what he's doing, but right. I really think that
of these sketches?
Yes, they're very haunting. They are very specific.
They
and
really are.
He might be right. The one thing I will say about the interviews is that it does not look like, it looks like he's remembering. You know what I mean?
Right.
Where the way the details are coming out of his mouth are he's doing the thing. He's looking up and right and he's collecting data and coming out. Because I don't think he's necessarily a bright man.
No.
He is just a brutal man. And the way he kind of talks about it is very perfunctory, where he's like, yeah, I did her in the car. And right. then I just pulled over the road. I found a little thing. And there was a dirt road. There's always a dirt road.
Yeah.
There's always just like a place he would just go through the Everglades. I mean, like, you got fucking alligators and all these animals that are doing your disposable, doing your disposal for you. So he's just dragging them in the fucking, he's like, yeah, I cover with leaves and I left.
Yeah, this
he
is.
He went uncaught for 35 years.
Good Lord.
Because, and the only thing he did to really cover up his crimes is like, I put a hat on her face. It looked like she fell asleep working the field. Being like, no, that's not. You didn't even chop it up and feed it to dogs.
No, she did not go Kuklinski on this whatsoever. No rats were involved. And again, it's almost like no one was looking for the bodies.
It is very, it's horrible. It's horrible.
It is horrible.
It's horrible.
And this is, again, going back to Christy Palazzo Lolo. She says, over the course of that interview in May, he went through city and state and gave Ranger Holland the number of people he killed in each place. He said Jackson, Mississippi, he killed one. Cincinnati.
Yeah, dude.
He killed in Cincinnati, he killed one. In Phoenix, Arizona, he killed three. In Las Vegas, Nevada, he killed one. So it seems like not just does he recognize who he killed and their faces, but he also remembers how many people he killed in which places. And it seems sort of counter to what we think about when it comes to serial killers, like Ted Bundy, obviously the famous quote, like, you know, you forget the crowbar or the wrench or whatever the hell that was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, it seems like Bundy couldn't even do as specific of, you know, recollection on his victims. And Bundy was supposed to actually be smart. So maybe this guy is like, a savant in some way. Like, I don't know. I don't even know how to describe someone who has a memory.
Well, he's got a photographic memory.
Yeah, photographic, oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't know what the hell's... I don't know what the hell's up with this shit. He seems to be... He does seem to be very in tune and he seems to remember each one. He seems to have an emotional memory for each one of these murders. It seems
yeah.
like he drew the pictures to remember. It seems like, honestly, he's been replaying them over and over. For forever. Because the way he described it is that he just straight up is like, this is what I do. This right. was me. I was a serial killer. That's just that was my every day. It was what I thought about every single day.
And again, you can go to the FBI YouTube channel if you want to check out their new programming, Samuel Little Confesses. It really is insane.
He's a piece of shit. But now he gets to go on all these road trips.
So they're taking him out of prison now. Checking to see if what he's saying is accurate, or are they keeping him in prison and going to snoop around? I don't quite know if he's getting out of prison or not, but he is definitely, I guess this is the final phase of being a serial killer. Now he gets his recognition. It's almost too good for him.
Well, it's all this shit. It's like everyone was so happy. I mean, unfortunately, the term justice porn has been said again. It's something about the Golden State Killer, where it's like everybody's so happy that he's been got. Everyone's really excited that justice is finally done. Man, he's fucking 79 years old. He's 80 years old. He made it.
Yeah, he's even older.
He literally made it all the way to the end, and he lived through it. It's because our police departments don't speak to each other, and it's because they're murdering people that they don't care about because they don't care about sex workers.
They certainly
that is what
did
it's about. So we
years.
Now have to go and celebrate. We got him. It's like, yeah, you got an 80-year-old man that was living in a homeless shelter that had already stopped being an active serial killer. He was already over it. He was already into whatever. He was waiting to die.
Over it, do you think these drawings that he's created will end up on the serial killer market?
The serial killer market is getting harder and harder to, you have to be pretty legit now. Nowadays, it's like, because I've been to several serial killer art shows in LA.
You went to one with John Wayne Gacy, right?
Yes, and then I was supposed to go to one with Charles Manson, but I didn't, you know, because we were on the road. But as we were, Lethal Amounts is an incredible art gallery in Los Angeles. If you're ever in Los Angeles and you want to see whatever show is going on there, Lethal Amounts is pretty fucking sweet.
Lethal Amounts, okay.
You have to give a certain amount to victims society. It's like, even if you were selling tickets to the event, you have to give money towards charity. You have to do things now. So it probably will end up. I imagine something like the Museum of Death will purchase these paintings at some point. He won't make this money, but hopefully families of the victims will make some money.
Yeah, because they really are I don't know. They're just really interesting, and you can see a bunch of the sketches on the internet, as you can see everything else. But they really are haunting, haunting drawings and depictions. And he seems to give his victims even a sense of emotion in the drawings. So, I mean, he must have been able to feel that he was doing something that was causing someone else an immense amount of distress, pain, and misery. But obviously, he didn't care.
He's a bad dude.
Again, going back to a little bit of the racial component here, I think without a doubt, he doesn't get to this number if he was killing anyone that was not black and was not a sex worker. There's no way he gets to this number. And also being an African-American homeless person himself, off the grid entirely. You know, we saw this with the Grim Sleeper as well. We covered him briefly in the last podcast on the left. These people were able to get away with it for much, much longer because society turned a blind eye. And it really is just a tragic double-edged sword when it comes to the racial injustice in our country.
Absolutely.
And white people, and as we talked about in that episode with the Grim Sleeper, white people don't want to talk about it because they don't want to seem like, they don't want to be like, oh, I don't want to be called insensitive. It's like, these are serial killers. Like, yeah. this is not about your, like, hashtag whatever society.
No. These are serial killers. These are serial killers. There's a lot of talk about he was, you know, he was quote-unquote very charming. Samuel Little, he kind of worked his way into people's lives. He had girlfriends. He had all of this shit, but he still, man. It's, again, all of these people still add these kind of caveats to him. He's like, oh, but when I met him, he was actually really nice. I was like, yeah, I know. But he was the last thing that 93 women saw.
Right.
So
exactly.
He was, so he ended up, he said one specific statement was that I had a woman in a car, and when she realized I was crazy, the only thing that she could say was, oh shit.
Good Lord. Those are
no, but, and now he's in jail doing whatever the hell he's going to do. And hopefully more, because that's I want to say, they're asking for people to listen to the three confessions that he has put out. The FBI is straight up asking if you have any idea who these victims are. They're trying to identify some of his final victims.
Okay.
So there is a website. I forget the name. There is no website. Just like look up Samuel Little identify victims. And find out, like, they have all the shit where they have tips. We're saying, like, call into a tip hotline to help identify some of these victims.
All right. So make sure, yeah, check that out. Really interesting. And we will keep you up to date as more information comes to light. Samuel Little seems to love speaking at this point, so I'm sure he will have more to say in the future. Okay, Henry.
All right, I want to talk about this real quick.
All right.
It's been coming up again and again, and it's really just about you. This, we're in a fucking wackadoo goddamn timeline.
No.
We are just in a, I just, you know, I'm still beside myself. It's still just like, we had disclosure 2 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
Where the Navy said that they officially have no clue what UAVs are.
Yes.
And now NPR itself is reporting on cattle mutilations in Oregon.
National Public Radio is doing this now.
This is where we're at.
So it's literally like, welcome to NPR. Today we're going to be talking about cattle mutilations.
Story. Yeah. Now we want to warn our listeners, there is some talk of cows disappearing. So I don't want you to be triggered. If you have cows, move them away from the radio. I do not want them to be scared and spoil their strawberry milk.
But no, here we have in the early morning light, dust from hoops creates a fog at Sylvie's Valley Ranch in remote eastern Oregon. Ooh, they're being scary.
They really are. That's straight out of the article from NPR. The name of this the title of this article, if you want to read it, is Not One Drop of Blood, Cattle Mysteriously Mutilated in Oregon.
By Anna King. And I guess it was on All Things Considered, which is one of those shows that I use to fall asleep.
I do love that this is like, they definitely scared some people. This is the closest you can get to a War of the Worlds, you know, because, you know, the thing is with one of our favorite
people have not heard these things before. People on NPR that are listening to NPR not heard of cattle mutilations before. So this is bone shattering for these people. They thought cows sing songs with each other like whales. That's what they think cows can communicate and play chess and do math and shit. All right. So five young purebred bulls mysteriously showed up dead on the ranch this past summer. They were completely drained of blood with body parts precisely removed. This is very interesting. The ranch's vice president, Colby Marshall, he says, we'll go here, take a little walk around a bull around. The carcass stealer.
Well, I'm sorry, what did he say?
The carcass.
The carcass?
The carcass of the bull stealer.
Excuse me, farmer, could you speak in NPR English, please?
The carcass of the bull is still over there.
Coming upon one of the dead bulls. They're saying the bull looks like a giant deflated plush toy. It smells. Weirdly, there are no signs of buzzards, coyotes, or other scavengers. His red coat is as shiny as if he was going to the fair. But he's bloodless and his tongue and genitals have been surgically cut out. Good for him.
My God.
I am just saying, the reason why this story is fun is because it's on NPR now.
Yes. And
because aliens have worked their way so deep into mainstream society that even NPR, I mean, like, they're busting the story. So they are blowing minds.
They are blowing minds.
On that side of the radio.
And the picture of the cow, they have it. It's right there at the top of the article. It looks like John Candy and John Belushi and Chris Farley simultaneously jumped on this cow and completely deflated it. It is really, really creepy. So there's a lot of theories that are going around here. This is according to Harney County Sheriff's Deputy Dan Jenkins, who's been working the cattle cases. So he's literally, there is a deputy right now working cattle cases, going home to his wife, slamming down whiskey. He started to smoke again. He didn't smoke for 20 years.
Hell, man, it's scary, dude.
It's crazy. And this is what Jenkins says. He says, a lot of people lean towards aliens. He goes on to say, one caller had told us to look for basically a depression under the carcass. He goes on to say, because he said that the alien ships will kind of beam the cow up and do whatever they're going to do with it. Then they just drop them from a great height. This is a sheriff's deputy, Dan Jenkins. This is the beginning of a Nicolas Cage crime thriller.
But I'm saying this is how far we have come. This is how far ufology has gotten to, is that they are talking about. That is old school, like, deep cut. The cattle mutilations used to be a thing that we have always, I mean, they've been around for forever, which is why it's one of the phenomena that's more interesting than any of the others, because they have no clue really what's happening. Again, hyper-skeptical. You can always say it's animals. You could say it's all of this shit. You could say whatever it is that you want. But when you have these ranchers looking at these, they see animals consumed by other animals every day. They know what it looks like. At some point, they see something like this that is so outside of their parameters of their understanding.
Yes.
I'm not saying it's necessarily aliens. I don't even know what aliens are anymore. I'm now in a whole point. Where we're just kind of, we're making a reality possible. There's something about even just the chicken and the egg of us believing in the phenomena more and more, making it more concrete as it goes. The phenomena in us are in a constant communication, validating it. We are making it real as well. It's 50-50 between our unconscious and some kind of intelligence, Kissel. And you don't fucking look at me. You don't look at me with that side eye, Kissel.
But you know what? I have solved chicken or the egg. It's the egg. The egg came first. I decided it, so because that would make the most amount of sense, because you can't. Okay, but this is not the first time this has happened in the surrounding area here. About 2 years ago, 200 miles south of where we're talking about, a fellow named Andy Davies said that he found some of his cows cut up and bloodless. This is what he had to say regarding what they did. They circled around the tracks. They were looking all over the place. They didn't find any tracks, and he says, And he said it's a very dusty country. Then he says everything you do leaves tracks. But they did not find any tracks. So it really is hilarious that NPR is now scaring the hell out of a bunch of house moms and house dads as they sit there trying to enjoy their stories of Gerald Ford and how he wasn't actually a very good athlete in college. And then they're like, and all the cows are getting abducted.
But wait a second, I was listening to NPR and they told me Lady Gaga defeated carnivorism. I thought we had defeated it. The hamburger was a thing of the past.
Well, apparently it no longer is because the aliens have found out how amazing the taste of beef is, and that's what they're doing. What if we're just making aliens fat? What if there's just an alien? Did McDonald's sign a deal with the aliens and they're like, and the thing is, you can just take our cows. We'll give you the secret recipe.
I have learned of this thing called protein. It helps me bulk up after a day of blasting my quads. But, you know, a lot of alien stuff out there.
Wasn't, what is it, Tom DeLonge? Wasn't there something that he said was from an unknown spacecraft and then it just turned out to be a piece of concrete and he paid like $1,000 for it or $10,000 for it?
There, it just came out, Tom DeLonge. It looks like he's been saying he's had a thing of exotic metals that he paid $35,000 for and they think it might be bismuth. It might be 6 pieces of bismuth / magnesium zinc.
Oh, man.
And a piece of aluminum.
Dude, Tom DeLonge, he lost his wife. And I don't know. Maybe it wasn't true love.
Ufology is hard, dude.
I know. I just really starting to feel bad for him. And Blink-182 is starting to tour again. I know they've replaced him in the band. But I'm sure if he's just like, guys, just let me play one song. I'm sure they'll let him play again. Because at some point, he's going to go bankrupt and he's going to be loveless. And I'm going to be desperate and sad. And then he's going to listen to Adam's song.
No, dude, you know what he'll do?
What?
Honestly, he'll go back to fucking Blink 182.
All right. Well, I hope
so. At one point, he'll just, if it gets really bad, they all want him back.
Yeah.
The new song, they had a new single out that just basically about how much they miss him.
Is that right?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Isn't that sad?
That's so sad.
They have to tell their friend? I know that's where we have gotten to a delusional part of our lives, where you are writing hit singles about how much you miss me, you know?
Just the whole podcast called Missing Henry and be like, what happened? Did he die? Did he go to the National Forest and get abducted? No, I just miss Henry. Like, he is gone mentally. He's right in the same house. He and Natalie, I know exactly where they live.
No, I said so. Because you're getting taller. Because you're getting bigger.
We're all going to turn into our parents one day.
Oh, God. Oh, God. I'm already half my mother.
All right. Well, let's see. I really, you know, when it comes to Hero of the Week, I don't know what to do this week. There was a dude who was, he was being held up at gunpoint, and he lit a cigarette. I thought that was kind of cool.
I don't know.
That's
just fucking, he's just addicted to cigarettes.
Yeah, that's true.
He just didn't know what else to do with his fucking time. Also, I want to say thank you to Matt Staggs for giving me the pointing out the new Joe Rogan episode. Thank you so much, buddy.
Thanks, Matt. Always appreciate you. You know what, dude? I'm just going to do the Hero of the Week is the people who've submitted all the Hero of the Week songs, and maybe we could just play two new Hero of the Week songs, and those are the Heroes of the Week.
They're very divisive. The Hero of the Week songs, apparently, they are very divisive. People either have no opinion or they have the most intense opinions of a thing that doesn't matter that I've ever heard our listeners have. Besides the misspelling of a ray gun. That is, I would say that is the most divisive thing that's ever been in our show.
Yeah, probably. All right, well, here are two new songs, back-to-back Hero of the Week submissions.
It's the Hero of the Week.
All right, there you go. Hero of the Week.
How long was that? We've got to make sure it's under 2 minutes.
Oh, it's definitely under the 2 minutes.
You say it's definitely.
No, it
Some
is. I listen
Hero
to
Hero of the Week songs are like a minute long.
Travis, just make sure it's under 90 seconds.
7 minutes?
No, not 7 minutes. They get a little time, Henry. But yes, you're right. It was 90 seconds. Travis edited it. I promise.
I know. I know our listeners are enthusiastic, and I am an indulgent artist. I've been called that. So I'm saying that if you said it here or the week song and it's over a minute long, people are going to be upset.
Yes, I know. Yes. All right. But you know what? If the arts don't invoke an emotion, is it even a piece of art?
Wow.
Wow. Wow.
All right. I have some listener letters.
And before Henry reads this email, we are going to announce we are going to be doing 2 full episodes of Listener Pasta. So send in your spooky, ooky tales and keep them, you know, kind of short. Maybe within like a minute reading at longest, right? Minute 90 seconds at longest,
you know,
please.
Honestly, we just send in what you got. We're picking through because some will be longer and some will be shorter. That's the reason why we're doing 2 episodes. Is yeah. We already have had hundreds of submissions.
Yes.
And some of these, the goal with these is what we're really trying to do is we're trying to fucking be scary. All of this month, we're trying to get scary. Last podcast is getting scarier this week. We're going to be doing a lot of ooky spooky shit because we've been in history land.
I mean,
for quite a bit.
And I want to thank everyone for the response on the Mormonism series. It lives forever. And my God, you guys have been so supportive and wonderful. And yes, we will get back to aliens, blood and guts and all the things you love as well here this month. But email sidestorieslpotl@gmail.com. That's sidestorieslpotl@gmail.com. Let us know your spooky, ooky tales and we will read some on the show. All right. Emails.
Here we go. This is from A. I was just listening to your most recent episode of Side Stories, and the mention of precocious puberty reminded me of this really incredible article I read written by a man, Patrick Burley.
Are we still on puberty?
It's actually a very intense and challenging condition for a young child to cope with, and it absolutely makes sense that this is what Natalia has. For example, that is the Ukrainian orphan we've been talking about for a month.
Yes.
For example, at the age of 2, Patrick had his first pubic hair.
I don't want to. Can we be done with puberty stories after this email, please?
Yes. He had the testosterone levels of a 13-year-old and was growing facial hair. By 4, he was obsessively thinking about sex. Is this me? It was a condition he inherited from his father and his father and his father, whose parents simply lied about his age and skipped him several grades. Patrick's parents decided to keep him in the appropriate grade age-wise, but it took its toll in different ways. He was incredibly easy to provoke, which the other kids took advantage of.
Oh.
That's the only story. You should look up the article about that guy.
That's the story. This kid got... All right. Can we just be done talking about these wonderful people?
I'm just wondering. Science is science.
Science is science. All right.
Okay. This comes from C. To celebrate Spooky October, I thought I'd give you a little look into my daily, or should say nightly, life with parasomnias. I'll try to keep it short, but if you want to hear more, let me know. I am diagnosed with something called idiopathic hypersomnia, which means you're super tired and we don't know why, which means I'm always feeling like I just pulled an all-nighter. It also has a bunch of lovely side effects. Some people get sleep paralysis, like the time I believe I was abducted by aliens, and others, like me, have night terrors and hallucinations.
Oof.
Let's start with my night terrors. They're like nightmares on steroids where I genuinely believe I'm about to die in a horrible way, mainly being crushed by trucks or heavy machinery. I nearly threw myself off my balcony once because I thought I was being suffocated in a room full of spiders. After that, I set up a series of obstacles to wake me up before getting to the balcony door. One time, I thought the wall was caving in on me and woke up with my palm split open, drenched in blood from pressing so hard against the wall. I'm not on benzos to take the edge off. Weed is another effective medication, but legalities means I literally have easier access to benzos.
Jeez.
But that's a whole other discussion. Oh, and the terrors are especially fun when I'm sharing a room with others. While the night terrors are fun, the hallucinations are even funner. They come in 2 variants: insects on the walls and invasions of strangers. Insects are pretty self-explanatory. I see them everywhere. I'm asleep and my eyes are open. So I take in the features of the room and warp them in a dream state. This is also what happens with the terrors. The strangers are the same deal. Basically, I believe my bedroom is full of people. Sometimes strangers. Sometimes the vague idea of people I know. I think every one of them had that dream where they're at work. I have that, but all my colleagues are in my bedroom. I'm embarrassed about the mess, about being in my PJs, confused as to why the fuck they're there in the first place. the strangers sometimes take on a more sinister vibe too and can really crowd the room. I've woken up pressed against the wall because I've had to make space for them on my bed. These guys usually appear more often in big, old buildings, like when I was living in an old apartment building or a hostel. I usually half wake up, debate with myself it's rude to shine a light in their faces, get my phone, turn on a torch, and realize I'm alone in my room.
Damn.
It's very interesting. This is one of those. Other than these, I have super vivid dreams.
So is that sleep paralysis? Because my understanding was you don't move during sleep paralysis.
It seems to be they have a it's about being half asleep all the time.
Damn. All right.
And I have one last letter.
Okay.
This comes from Jay. The swelling in my anus was unbearable. I felt like I had defecated a diamond. Little I know, this was just the beginning. The sheet over my nude body stuck to me like boxer briefs when one forgets to wipe. Where am I? Is all I could squeeze out of my sphincter-tight throat. There was no response. I looked at my body. It resembled the inside back end of a pair of dirty undergarments. Dark brown stains everywhere and a pain I could only describe as if someone were to tear their rectum open just a bit further. As I looked around the room, it resembled a truck stop restroom with less of the flair. Well now, a booming voice echoed from somewhere behind the stall-looking doors. She was covered head to toe in filth and had a great brown mist to her. Warning, this is not mud. I looked at her with fear as she slowly walked out of the room, attempting not to touch anything. A heavy black woman in a white lab coat appeared out of one of the other stall-like doors. Her confused gaze turned my stomach like right before diarrhea. She had a roll of toilet paper hanging from a chain around her neck. You're lucky to be alive. My asshole, I barely pushed out. You died on the toilet at the Home Depot. You were sitting reverse style, eating soup, and you choked to death. She moved towards the table with a walk as if she had not made it to the toilet on time. They probably could have saved you, but you had put your pants back on over the back of the toilet. It just took too long to cut you off of there. The paramedics said that they've never seen anything like it before. The soup, I whispered. Campbell's, straight from the can like some kind of homeless person. She wasn't looking anywhere near me. You look like you were really creating something special in there. Domination. The janitor was not thrilled. She flipped the toilet paper around her neck and patted the tip of my penis. Her fingers were nice. A strange circling motion around the peepee hole. Your body's a property of Home Depot now. But your penis, that is mine for now. I felt my dick harden. I'm not dead. Yeah. Ignore the smell.
Who forgets to wipe? I have never heard, like, no one has ever forgotten to wipe. That has never happened.
That's just a little taste of some of the listener possibilities.
Oh, my God. Well, I don't like, that's not the right sentence to say after that, a little taste of what we're going to give in the future here, but no.
And next week I'm going to talk about the disappearance of Susan Powell. I can't wait to get into the story.
Now, apparently there's also a Netflix special about that as well, so perhaps I'll give that a gander. All right, everyone. Well, thank you all so much for listening. And again, sidestorieslpotl@gmail.com. Submit your stories and we'll read them in our finest NPR voices.
Love your life. You know what I mean? You got to love your life.
Sure.
Because other people are loving theirs, right? You want to be like them.
Yeah.
You got to catch up to them.
It's always the horrible people that love their lives, though.
Yes, yeah, sometimes.
Sometimes.
It's always the earnest people that live with a sense of doubt. All pervasive. And you live each day wondering, am I a fraud? Am I an empty husk wandering, just filled with electricity, just barely alive?
Uh-huh.
But I'm living, is what you say.
Right.
I'm living. That's when you gotta laugh. Yeah, laugh. Think me like, it's kind of funny that I got up this penis is just a bunch of little meat flaps on me, but it makes all babies. Huh? That's kind of funny.
And
I got big flappy meat loafs on the back of me. And my dookie comes out of that.
Yeah.
And then sometimes if you're a lady, you got flappy meat lopes on the fronts. And that's where the pee-pee but babies come out. So, you know, laugh at that.
Indeed. You got to laugh at the human anatomy. It's a goofy thing. Although some people are born in test tubes. Created in a lab. Which I always wanted to be a lab baby. All right, everyone. Thank you all so much for listening. And never forget. Hail yourselves.
Yeah, you test tube babies. Hail Satan, man.
All right, everyone. Magustalations.
Test tube, man.
Test tube.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors. You can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun. And that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. It's the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs who are looking to stand out and succeed online. Everyone knows the holidays can take a toll on your bank account. If you're looking for a creative way to increase revenue and give your family and friends the holiday treats they deserve, then you need to get started with Squarespace's new feature, Squarespace Courses. If I needed to give a class on digging holes, I'd do it. Squarespace has the tools you need to create and sell your own online course. Start with a professional layout that fits your brand. Upload video lessons to teach techniques and skills. And tailor your course with the powerful built-in Fluid Engine Editor. Plus, you can charge a one-time fee or you can sell subscriptions. Turn your creativity into income with Squarespace Courses. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to www.squarespace.com/left to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/left.